Welcome to WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence with Music of the Moment in West Michigan. It's an audacious, behind-the-scenes musical comedy about writing a musical comedy called Title of Show, with lyrics and music by Jeff Bowen and Hunter Bell, featuring main characters Jeff Bowen and Hunter Bell. One of the most original comedies to come out of Broadway in the last decade, it's arrived in Kalamazoo and will open this Friday, staged at the Farmers Alley Theater. It stars Stephen Guarino, who plays Hunter Bell, and Eric Potter, who plays Jeff Bowen. Director Rob Weiner says it's an ideal fit for the Farmers Alley Theater.
With the intimate space of Farmers Alley Theater, where we have 100 seats, putting on a show that has lots of, you know, sets and costumes and cast members is difficult. We've done it at times. I mean, our last show, Cabaret, had a big cast, lots of dancing, and it definitely was, you know, a unique experience in that space. But doing a show like Title of Show, which has four actors, the set is four chairs and a keyboard, and really just your imagination to put in all these settings around New York City, it was a really perfect fit for our space. We'd wanted to do it for a long time. The journey of the show is really interesting, and it mirrors a journey that myself, my brother Adam, and Deneen and Jeremy of the Mulay Koch family had when we started Farmers Alley Theater. As far as Title of Show goes, it started in 2004 as a writing exercise between Jeff Bowen and Hunter Bell, these two composers and writers in New York City. They sent in this quasi-show about a show about a show. So about writing the creative process of writing a musical, and they sent it into this new musical theater festival in 2004. A producer saw it, liked it. It went to Off-Broadway in 2006, where it enjoyed a long run. It was critically praised by the New York Times, and then it sort of died for a little while, and the creators were like, we're not done with it. We want to take this to Broadway. And through viral marketing, YouTube, websites, they got a lot of interest drummed up about it. In 2008, it ran on Broadway for over 100 performances, this little musical with just four chairs and a keyboard, and was ultimately nominated for a Tony Award for Best Book in 2009. The interesting thing we looked up this week was that Title of Show opened on Broadway 6 years ago this week. And it closed right around the time when Farmers Alley opened in 2008. And so I just thought that was sort of karma there, that show had that journey going on the same time that we here in Kalamazoo and Farmers Alley Theater were going through our little journey to start our program. And the musical speaks to artists, but it also speaks to anyone who's ever had a dream, wanted to accomplish something, had setbacks, self-doubt, everything like that. And then ultimately through perseverance, hard work, you know, really grinding it out, have the opportunity to make something, you know, special happen artistically and also just in their lives in general. And it's first and foremost, it's hilarious. And that's one of the big reasons why we wanted to do it.
It occurred to me in looking at the subject of the show, a musical comedy about writing a musical comedy, that it wouldn't be successful, one, if audiences didn't think it was pretty funny, but it wouldn't ring true either if the people playing these parts didn't sense that this was absolute truth as well, that the two writers, Hunter Bell and Jeff Bowen, were being very honest about what goes through their minds when they create a show.
Well, and the unique thing is that Hunter and Jeff starred in the show in all of its, you know, incarnations, off-Broadway, on-Broadway. And now regional theaters do it all over the country, and you have people playing Hunter and Jeff and their two friends, Heidi and Susan. I mean, literally Heidi and Susan, who were their two friends in New York City back when it happened 6 years ago. And so when the actors, and I'm sure Eric and Steven will tell you, especially for them, since they sort of know Hunter and Jeff and have met them before, what it's like being yourself playing Hunter, who's in fact playing a heightened version of himself, is just really unique.
Well, maybe now's a great time to move to our stars here. Stephen Guarino plays Hunter Bell and comes from a background of TV acting, stage, writing, and directing. So there's really not much that you don't know.
I'm very good.
About what's going on in this piece.
I adore this show, and like you, I've mentioned it a few times now in different interviews, and it's starting to sound like I'm bragging, but what I like about knowing Jeff, I knew Jeff from Florida, and I know Hunter from New York, is that around that time, I got to New York in 98, met Eric actually around 2001, and knew Hunter and Jeff, they used to come to our show, we had a big improv show off Broadway, and we used to go to their stuff, and we all started to share this sort of general, not general, but this interesting idea about deconstructing the elements of theater. And we started to play around with those ideas. And so it's so wild for me to be now like doing a show that people I knew regionally that is a tried and true production now. And to think that I kind of was aware of how they were coming up with the elements of it. I think it's fascinating. I think it's kismet. So
one of the things that seems really terrifying in the synopsis is they decide to write a completely original musical in 3 weeks. And what I've seen of theater productions, you can't even put on a famous show in just 3 weeks' time, let alone write a new book and music for it.
Yeah.
So it's an impossible task they set for themselves, which probably amps up the comedy and the drama right away.
Well, it's like you were saying, I think they just went for the truth quickly. And if you go for the truth and just start writing the truth, then you have something worth listening to.
Eric, did you cross paths with Hunter Bell or?
Actually, I've met them in passing a couple of times. I do a lot of Broadway Cares events, and they do numbers. I've written and performed a couple of numbers for those. So I have a really great picture of myself in the middle of the entire original cast. Mm-hmm. I saw the show during its Broadway run, and I didn't know what to expect. A friend of mine said, I have tickets to the show. So I didn't have any preconceived notion when I went in. I just sort of sat down. And I just thought it was hysterical. I thought it was such a heartwarming show that despite its sometimes obscure references to theater, I felt like it appealed to everyone, you know, anyone who's passionate about anything, anyone who's ever had a dream, like Robert said. I felt like it was this little musical that could, almost. Like, it came out of nowhere, and they actually, I mean, who writes a show with their friend, and then it actually does go to Broadway? You know, that's very rare, unless you're like an established composer and writer. So I thought that was kind of an exciting aspect, too. It was like, wow, someone just like us got their show to Broadway.
The fact that it's a team writing the show, a lyricist mm-hmm. and a music writer, this is a pairing that goes that back through decades and decades in musical theater. So it's kind of a classic thing and brings to mind some of the great teams of the past. Do they end up comparing themselves to...
Constantly, yeah. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Comden and Green, Bach and Hartnick, Cantor and Ebb, mm-hmm. Shields and Yarnell. Tons of pairings we talk about during it, an homage to them.
Well, maybe we should introduce some music here and have a listen to an early scene. Would somebody... do me the favor of setting up this song, Two Nobodies?
Sure. This song, Two Nobodies in New York, comes right after the first scene when the boys start to talk about maybe our show. What if our show was just us talking about what we want to write about? And they said, so this conversation should go in the show? Yeah. So, and this. This too. And then they sort of go off at a tangent. Why would anyone think that the Two Nobodies in New York could actually write a show? And then they sort of get that inspiration and in song and sort of run with it.
What if this dialogue were set to music? What if what we're saying could be said in a song? Hey, that's not a bad idea. Perhaps we could use it. Music in a musical, how can we go wrong? We could ask significant questions. We could get important points across, like, are we writing for art? And is art a spring? Get us a sitcom, and will a sitcom get us on Ellen? And will Ellen get folks to like us? And if they like us, will they mic us, me and you? To Nobodies in New
That's a great introduction to this hilarious musical. They get quickly from doing it for art to doing it for fame and recognition. How fun. Although I noticed how many words and how clearly they had to be speaking them so we could all understand. That must be, you know, a big part of putting the show together.
We should probably consider that.
I'm considering memorizing my lines for the show, actually.
I'm thinking about voice lessons, frankly.
That's one thing that I love about this musical. It's very intricate, but not complex necessarily. It's intricate in that... there's some really clever stuff, and, you know, these are some pretty smart guys that put this show together, and, you know, it's one of those that, you know, you could see it twice and probably pick up more things the next time. That's one thing that I really love about the show.
Eric, your biography has me assuming you are possessed of enormous vocal confidence, thousands and thousands of live shows, you know, you're willing to put yourself out there every night and sing to your fullest. And that's a rare person who has not only the equipment, but the determination.
Well, I love it. I was, you know, singing since the age of 2. My father's a musician, so I was named after Eric Clapton. So I think I was kind of destined to be a singer.
He says with a shrug.
Yeah. It's interesting because this is the first book musical I've done in a number of years. You know, I sort of make my living working as a guest entertainer for cruise lines. And, you know, my show that I did in New York for about 6 years was basically a musical review. So this, getting the opportunity to do this show was exciting for me because it's an actual character and, you know, with lines and, you know, where it's just a new animal for me and a challenge. And it's been so exciting to be able to just kind of switch gears and, you know, hone my craft as an actor now.
When did you hear from Rob about doing this show? And have you known Rob for long?
Well, no, actually, through Stephen. I've known Stephen for years. We've been like best of friends. And, you know, despite the fact that he lives in LA and I'm in New York, you know, it's like that old friendship where you pick up the phone or you text and you're like, hey, what's up? You know, we just crack each other up. So Stephen approached me actually and asked.
The artistic director asked, who would I have immediate chemistry with? And we could just finish each other's sentences and make each other laugh. And I said, Eric Potter.
Yeah, I mean, I think the chemistry that Eric and Stephen had is key to sort of mirror what Jeff and Hunter had. So when we knew we had Stephen, we said, do you have any friends that you could suggest to us that would have that chemistry? Because we knew we had a short rehearsal process, and we had to learn the music sort of at home, learn the text at home. These guys have been working nonstop since they've come to Kalamazoo. And so to have that chemistry there without really having to work on it is a real blessing as a director.
They also wanted someone, of course, who was not intimidated by my vocal ability. So.
Stephen.
Not traditionally known as a singer, but Catherine Adams, the musical director, is putting me through a boot camp that is incredible. Mm-hmm. But this show lends itself to people that have personality and comedy to... it's all just falling. The pieces are falling into place perfectly. Mm. I mean, what's weird is I'm paying to be there, but but I don't think that is a I don't think that's a problem.
Well, it's a great show because the show stands for itself. And yes, while you have to sing, it's not about, you know, singing a huge ballad and, you know, blowing the audience away. It's more about the text and the meaning behind the song. It's exciting to get to work with Stephen also because I've known him for years, but our paths never really cross. He does, you know, mostly film and television, and I'm, you know, I do musicals and sing. And so the prospect of doing a show together, he was like, do you want to? And I was like, yes, whatever it is. Yes. You know? And so we were backstage in our dressing room the other night and we're like, oh my gosh, we're doing a show together.
This
After all
it.
These years, I never thought it would happen, but...
I said, I have one fine. Question. Have you heard of Kalamazoo?
I am interested in the answer to that question. I mean, it's a special town, but not a lot of people know.
It's really unique. We were saying it's so beautiful and clean. It's like being in Victoria, Canada. It's just flawless.
I take that as a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
I have been to Michigan once before, though, to Saugatuck, to the Mason Street Warehouse. Yep. We did a 2-week run of an improv show there, and Saugatuck was beautiful. So this is just more of the same. It's great.
Yeah.
And I actually said, I will only do it if it's in Kalamazoo.
Right.
So.
Why don't we look at some more tunes here? One thing that popped into my head when you were talking about the vocal demands is that, you know, Hunter Bell and Jeff Bowen wrote this for themselves to sing. Are they good singers? I mean, did they make it easy for themselves?
They are good singers. If you're listening,
yes, they are great
singers.
Hey, Ashley, they are great singers. And it's funny because in the beginning of listening to it, you're like, oh, okay, well, they're singers. But when you look at the music and you're learning their parts, you realize that they've, usually in a musical, one person does all the tenor line, one person does all the bass, and they've split it up. They both share, which is just a testament that they both have really great voices. Because there's some notes in this show that are way up there.
I think they're character voices, right, too? I mean, they're not going to be singing Phantom anytime soon or anything like that. But
yeah.
People might be getting the idea that this is a show of two guys only. So we need to open this up and mention the crucial roles of
the two. Well, we also play the women. It's an equity thing.
Based on Jeff and Hunter's own friends, Heidi and...
Heidi and Susan, they're friends. Heidi is a Broadway actress. She's been in a couple of Broadway shows. She was in The Little Mermaid the same time the title of show was running on Broadway as well. So they sort of had to make that decision to take her out of The Little Mermaid when it was running on Broadway. And she came over to title of show. And Susan Blackwell, which is just one of the funniest women on the planet of the Earth, as opposed to the planet of, you know, Saturn. And they have some wonderful, wonderful moments in the show. And they're being played by two extremely talented Michiganders.
Michiganders?
Yes, Michiganders.
Mary
Teutsch plays Susan. She is our local award-winning actress. She just portrayed Annie Oakley and Annie Get Your Gun at the Kalamazoo Civic. And then a former Western student, Caitlin Lester Sams, graduated in 2007. Went to New York. We put out a big open call for Heidi's on the web. She answered it, and we're like, wow, this girl is great. And lo and behold, she went to Western. She knows a lot of the folks around town here, you know, like Terry Williams and a bunch of other folks that we've brought in. And we're like, what do you think of this Caitlin? Oh, she's amazing. And she has a voice that will bring the house down. She's incredible. Worth the price of admission alone.
Why don't we find a tune where a woman sings a song here?
Certainly.
Is Part of It All one of those
selections? No, it's not. Okay. But A Way Back to Then is Heidi's big number, and it's sort of towards the end of the show, the 11 o'clock number, if you will, where the boys are kind of considering what's our next step and is the show worth all the trouble that it's going through? And she has this really touching song that speaks to a lot of artists, men and women, about what it was like growing up with that love of the arts and how they can take that forward in adulthood.
Dancing in the backyard, Kool-Aid mustache and butterfly wings, hearing Andrea McCardle sing from the hi-fi in the den. I've been waiting my whole life to find a way back to then. Unfurled, flying again.
A real highlight from title of show. And if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Rob Weiner, director of the show, with stars Stephen Guarino and Eric Potter, playing Hunter Bell and Jeff Bowen, who are in the midst of writing a musical in 3 weeks for a competition. And I believe halfway through the show, they actually win the competition and then have to continue.
I don't know if it's the Nymph Festival, New York Music Theater Festival. I don't think it's necessarily a competition, but
getting accepted, basically.
Yeah, they get accepted. And then it becomes a showcase. And that show put that festival on the map, and now it is just flooded with submissions now.
You referenced that there are a lot of in-jokes and theater references that are going to go over some people's heads, but it might intrigue people to come back and keep listening for, like, maybe you'll get more the next time you hear the show.
Yeah.
Well, something cool that we're putting into the program is sort of a glossary to help people along with all the obscure references, whether it's Mamie Duncan Gibbs.
That's my favorite.
Or Mary Stout or Tim Gunn, which is a little more pop culture, Project Runway. But so when you come to the show, make sure you read your program when you're sitting down waiting for the show to begin, and then you'll be it'll help you out, although I have midoots.
Well, that's one thing that I love about the show is despite the fact that there are obscure references, even if you don't understand what they are, it's either the delivery or the context of the line, it's still hilarious. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what the charm of this show is that you don't have to be a theater dork, so to speak, to enjoy it.
But does it put it in danger of making the show irrelevant in a few years? Or?
No, they're pretty timeless, a lot of these things. A lot of show references, a lot of actor references. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that we will see if it will stand the test of time, because it definitely is not a period piece, but it definitely was done at a time when people were on their cell phones less. And, you know, different shows have opened since, and, you know...
Well, the thing I've learned about theater is it's not treated as period pieces. Directors, you know, chop and mm-hmm. cut and change everything up all the time. So it's really mm-hmm. quite a... They don't feel, you know, chained to the book in any way. You could always update some of the shows.
Robert's probably about to say the same thing as me, which is that our script comes with a pretty strict guideline in the back about... Mostly what you can't change, and then a very maybe 1% of things they're interested in being lenient on for the purpose of the production, but they want to maintain that it's what they originally wrote.
It's not the kind of a show that you'd want to, like, you know, customize. Let's do this for Kalamazoo, say. You really want to keep it on Broadway. You really want to keep it in the, you know, you don't want to say, oh, this is happening now in 2014, because, you know, it actually was different in 2004 when they wrote it. You know, things have changed so much in communication and theater that I think it's important to keep it sort of where it was.
Oh, and this might be interesting. Actually, you guys don't know this, but last night I emailed Hunter Bell and had a question about one of the jokes that 22 dramaturgs haven't figured out yet. And he gave me the correct answer. So in the script, I'll be saying Eric Potter, not insert name of actor.
Oh, interesting.
You don't know what that means out of context, but come see the show and you'll understand.
I should remind listeners that the show starts on Friday and will continue through August 3rd. Performances are at Farmers Alley Theater in downtown Kalamazoo. And the way to find tickets and more information is online at farmersalleytheater.com or call the box office 269-343-2727. And someone would be happy to help you out. There. Again, farmersalleytheater.com. Theater with an R-E.
Ooh, yes.
That's the pretentious way. No. And as far as tickets go, also, because we want a lot of students to come, we do have special student rates. And sometimes if a show isn't sold out, we have student rush tickets available as well. And those are just, you can just purchase those at the door.
Just walk up. Really good. Although I imagine there's a lot of anticipation for this show. Farmer's Alley has a reputation for finding very current hot properties straight from the Great White Way. Is it?
Well done.
Thank you. Talk a little more about how the female leads interact with the writing team. I know there's a song called Vampires. Did I just lead us in a strange direction?
Yeah, it's called Die, Vampire, Die. And I think it's sort of an anthem for anyone who has had, you know, those sort of thoughts of, oh, what am I doing? Or, you know, I'm not good enough. Or, you know, my feelings don't matter. Or it really is an interesting way to sort of look at those creeping thoughts that we all sort of get when, you know, we lose our confidence or we, you know, just are lost. It's actually one of my favorite songs in the show, too.
So it's not about vampires?
It is, but you'll have to come see the show.
Metaphorical.
Metaphorical vampires.
The girls have a wonderful duet called Secondary Characters, which goes to show they're anything but secondary characters. But they are, you know, they are... Hunter and Jeff have come up with the basic show and invited them to be part of it. So oftentimes they have to support what we're going through. But then we have this great moment where we step back and we get to see them in all their glory. And they're
it's a four-person show, by all means.
For sure, yeah. And we have two beautiful, beautiful singers. Every night in rehearsal, you know, I'm just blown away.
Thank you.
Sitting on the stage, watching, and you know, just I'm very lucky to get to share the stage with these two women because they're more than capable and just bring so much to this show.
You are all so experienced with what it's like to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and fine tune and see things go from completely ridiculously inept to something professional and ready to go. What's it like when there's suddenly an audience on that first night and they're like the other character that you hadn't prepared for?
It's an adrenaline rush for sure. For sure. It does change your sort of look on things. I'm anxious to get an audience because so much happens and so many laughs happen where you don't expect them to. And I think that's what's sort of exciting to me is, oh, well, so that is kind of funny. I never thought of that. Or, you know, what comes across as funny to like Kalamazoo audiences.
Mm-hmm. Audiences are the best because it gives you just a little breath to constantly ground yourself and remember where you are in the story and what you're talking about. It just gives you a little bit of a pause. And we were talking about it. Once there's an audience, you don't forget a line. You don't forget a note. Something kicks in the brain that doesn't happen in rehearsal where you just have a little bit of room to screw around. So I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, it's so cliche, the magic of theater, you know, in live theater especially, but it's an energy that you get from the audience. They give it to you, and then you give something back to them, and then they give it again back to you. It's like this constant, like, you can cut it like a knife, what's in the air there. And, you know, we're excited for these audiences because hopefully, they will be vocal and take this journey with us and laugh when it's appropriate and be moved, I think, again, by the end when it's appropriate too. It's this real wonderful journey. And what's exciting about it also is that it's just a 90-minute show. There's no intermission. So the journey happens right from lights up to the very end. So I think it's shorter than some first acts of shows, you know, those big musicals that, you know, are being performed on Broadway. They're, you know, 2.5-3 hours long, you know, so this is probably shorter than the first act of Les Mis, I would think. But it's that real tight journey the four people in this audience take together. And for a space like ours, where the audience is sort of right on top of the actors, I think it's really going to bring something special that it wouldn't necessarily have in a larger auditorium.
You know, you should all be ashamed of yourselves because it's 40 minutes into this interview and you've neglected to mention Nick Mueller.
This is that might be on purpose.
Yeah. It's completely
sort of a
on
joke.
Purpose.
He was the star of one of your shows this spring, and here we are, poor guy in the corner at the piano.
Yep, Nick plays Larry, and Larry is the often ignored accompanist to the show, and his stuff is hilarious. Now, how we got Nick was kind of weird karma. We had Patrick Coyle, a wonderful music director, lined up. Unfortunately, he had to have surgery, couldn't play the show at all because of his physical therapy. We were so incredibly lucky to get Catherine A. Walker, Walker Adams, however she's known now that she's married, to come in and sort of prep the singers. And she said, you know, Nick would be wonderful to play the show and be this fifth character. And if you saw old Wicked Songs back during the Gilmore Festival, you know how incredibly talented he is. He got to show off a little of his piano skills in that show. But he's the one-man band during this, and he's got to play the entire music. He's got lines. He has percussion that he has to do for himself. But it is a running joke in the show that he is ignored. So, yes, that was absolutely on purpose that we didn't mention him until now.
Okay, well, now he's getting a big head, so we have to stop talking.
Yeah, no more.
Oh, poor Nick. Well, again, the show opens this Friday and runs all the way through August 3rd, but that's just on weekends. So you'll want to have a look at FarmersAlleyTheater.com or call 269-343-2727. Let's wrap it up with my thanks to having you guys come in and share this fabulous energy. Public radio doesn't get much more animated than
this. Oh, thank you. It's our pleasure.
Stephen Guarino Eric Potter and Rob Weiner. Any last thoughts, guys?
I'd like to mention that if anyone is coming to the show and wants to let me talk their ear off with salacious Hollywood gossip about all the television shows that I've been on,
okay,
they can come see me after the show, and we will all go for a drink, and I will regale them.
And I will pick up all those names that you drop on the floor.
Yeah, and again, I just wanted to reiterate that this is a show that audiences, I mean, student audiences are going to enjoy, but I think that it runs the gamut. If we get you in the door, I think you're going to fall in love with this show and really take something away from it.
And you might have to come back and see it
again. Yeah, so I like Eric's suggestion of seeing it a second time.
Well, there's also, I know when it ran in New York, there's also this group of people that repeatedly see it, almost like, you know, like Parrot Heads or like whatever the name is. Yeah. So it sort of had this cult following as well. So I had the feeling that once people see it, we'll be getting a lot of repeat customers or repeat audience members, I should say.
You just want groupies.
Yes, we want groupies, please.
May I keep you for one more moment to ask, what's coming up after this show? What roles and productions and things are you going to be involved in the next few months?
I know Steven's very booked. I will be serving Sunday brunch at a restaurant near you in New York City. It's funny, when we were talking about arranging getting to Kalamazoo and doing this show, I told my friends back in New York, I was like, oh, my friend Steven has to get cleared through this network and this because he's working on, you know, doing a lot of film and television. I said, I've really got to get my Sunday brunch shift covered. So we're on kind of a different path right now. Actually, I work as a guest entertainer for cruise ships, and I have a one-man show that I do that I've written and produced while I'm on the cruise ships. But Steven actually is a very busy man.
You can currently see me on MTV's Finding Carter, one of their new breakout dramas. I play the evil Toby. And I have a new television show coming out starring myself called 10%. And you can see that on the Logo Network. And we'll be shooting this fall and coming on in January. And I've got another few things maybe in the pipeline, but just keep checking the old internet.
Do you tweet? And
I am not a tweeter. It's going to start with this television show. Logo's going to do that for me, I think. But I had never had any interest in that, but I've really got to start.
I'm saying all of our actors are extremely talented. Steven Guarino, I would listen to him read the phone book. He's hilarious. I was a fan of his before, you know, we got him in for the show. So for me to work with him every day has been a real treat. So thank you, Stephen, for coming out. And as far as Farmers Alley is considered, our next season starts in the fall. This is title of the show is the final show of our sixth season, if you can believe it. And in season 7, we open in the fall with the musical The Secret Garden. And if you want to come to that or get season subscriptions, that info is on our website as well.
Farmers Alley Theater. .com.
.com.
Well, I'm really, really loved having you here this morning. Thank you all so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Rob, would you give us a little intro to part of it all?
Sure. This final song is Hunter and Jeff singing about their Broadway dreams and what it would be like if they actually got to be on Broadway, meet Bernadette Peters, have their picture up at Sardi's, and follow their dreams all the way to the Great White Way.
A part of steadying a life that seems unstable, with a paycheck in my pocket to help me pay the rent. A part of being fine with splurging on the cable, and no more phone calls to unemployment.
That's music from Title of Show, which opens at the Farmers Alley Theater this Friday. Details available at farmersalleytheater.com. And thanks to my guests, director Rob Weiner and stars Steven Guarino and Eric Potter. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan.